Hello and welcome to our Secular Sponsor Speaker Series. Each week we hear from an Overeaters Anonymous member who has obtained and maintained abstinence without God and has served as a sponsor to other members. The series also provides opportunities for secular OA members who don't have a sponsor or are interested in exposure to a variety of points of view to learn from the experiences of others. We encourage everyone to sponsor others up to the level of their own recovery or to use these tools with each other as peers. If you're willing to sponsor or to work as a peer, please post a message at oasecularforum@gmail.com. For additional information about abstinence without God, go to secularovereaters.org. And now, let's hear from this week's secular OA sponsor.
Hi, I'm Alan, a food addict, and I've been a member of OA for about 31 years, and just a couple photos. My top physical weight, I think you can see this, was about 335 pounds. This is actually about 3 months before I came into OA, and here's another one, again, about the same weight. Of the 31 years, I've been abstinent about 26. Not continuously. The most I had continuously was about 14 and a half years, and I have about 6 years. So I've had, you know, three or four relapses spread over the 31 years. And then the reason that I kind of picked exercise is OA World Service looked at making exercise a tool at one point. They actually looked at making it, you know, one more of our official tools. It didn't get the vote, but it shows that it was, you know, something worth considering. And at a personal level, I found exercise to be a very important tool to help me, you know, in my abstinence and recovery beyond my abstinence. So let me first just, you know, say why exercise is important to me. First is, you know, it helps with my weight loss. When I had my last relapse, I came back about 6 years ago, being about 100 pounds heavier than I am today. And, you know, of course, the main reason I came to OA is because I didn't want to be 300 plus pounds. You know, it's a terrible thing to be. It's a very hard way to go through life, having literally for me about double the weight that a doctor or, you know, should say I should weigh. And then it also helps maintain my weight. I've been at this weight for a few years now, and it seems to just be a lot easier to maintain the weight with exercise. But there's also a big mental health part of it. Probably the main reason I had relapses over the years was depression. I've struggled with pretty severe depression, like debilitating depression, you know, like we're just caught in bed and you're just binging and watching TV for long periods of time. And so exercise has been, you know, the best antidepressant in the world. You know, they sort of like, you know, you go to see a psychiatrist and they give you a pill. They don't give you like an exercise regime, and truly it's easier to swallow a pill than learn to exercise. But in reality, exercise is, you know, better than, and I've been on a lot of pills, is better than any pill I've ever experienced, you know, really does wonderful things to my brain. Just my overall sense of well-being. I just feel healthier and better, more alive, more engaged in life. And I attribute a lot of that to exercise. So when I came back from this last relapse, I was struggling to do anything. I was coming out of a real depression. I was trying to get back to being abstinent. If I could say one magic thing is like start small, just start with tiny movements. You know, it's almost like sometimes people in abstinence, they start by just giving up one thing, you know, one red light food before they go through all the possible red light foods. Well, that's how I was with exercise. And in the beginning, my thing was to walk around the block. I mean, I live on a small street, circle that block and circle it slowly, but I was moving, like one foot was in front of the other, and it was something I could do. You know, it was like a simple, easy thing to do. And then another really big part for me was finding people to do it with, getting OA buddies, getting other people to do it with. A meeting that I go to, somebody started an OA walking club. It was a Sunday morning meeting that ended at, I think it was like 8 to 9:30. Some guy said, "Hey, why don't we all start walking together after the meeting?" And, you know, we now have this walking club, not now with COVID, but, you know, it would be announced at halftime and 6, 8, 10 of us would go for a 30, 40 minute walk after the meeting on a Sunday morning. It was wonderful. It built fellowship. It got some exercise going. You know, it was a wonderful thing. And I didn't come up with that. Another guy did, but I almost always went if I could to do that. So, but it's so much easier to exercise with other people. I was also able to, at one point, find another guy in OA. It helped that we lived near each other who was struggling with exercise, and we became exercise buddies and started again with simple stuff, but eventually we started playing racquetball and bicycling and kind of doing more fun things. But again, it's so much easier to do that with another human being. I went to great lengths at times to find another person to help me. And I was really just crawling out from under the covers, you know, it's even like walking around the block wasn't necessarily that easy. I found a neighbor who was looking to walk also. And I walked with this neighbor for a while. At one point she got a job and couldn't walk with me anymore. And then I actually paid someone. I found this retired guy. I paid him $10 a day, you know, which was like the best use of $10 compared to what I would spend at McDonald's, which could be $15 or $20. And he would come to my house. He had a key to my house. And his job was to, if I wasn't there at the front door at, you know, I think it was 7 a.m., then he had permission to come up to my bedroom. And I always wanted to get him one of those seltzer bottles from like the 1970s where he could squirt me, but instead it was a water gun. But he had permission to shoot me with a water gun. Never happened, but he had permission to do that if I did not get my butt out of bed and walk with him. And that worked. And it started with little walks, you know, like around the block. And then it was a few times around the block. And then it was like up some small hills and a little faster. And by the end of the year or something like that, I was, you know, really getting a sweat up and breathing heavy and really taking a nice, rigorous walk from just a dawdling stroll is what it started at. So that was a really big thing to start just finding somebody. And I don't know, it's almost like it's really easy for me to not want to exercise. And I hear this a lot in OA people, you know, it's like, it's something that particularly in the beginning is just not fun, not interesting, like, yeah. But so I needed really extreme lengths. I just needed a lot of reinforcement to do it. But it worked, you know, it worked. Eventually I've used accountability at times, you know, times just admitting it. I sponsor a guy and he emails into me. In fact, I sponsor two people and they email me, actually three people. They email me their exercise every day. You know, not just their exercise, their food and writing and this and that, but their exercise is part of their daily action plan. And that's the way I think of it, is a part of the action plan. You know, the action plan is the things we do to be abstinent and work our recovery, you know, beyond just not overeating, whatever else we call our recovery beyond, you know, abstinence. And exercise for myself and for the people I sponsor, it's just part of their action plan. And it creates this accountability. I don't email in my exercise anymore. I think I did at some point. Now I just write it down and track it, you know, just have like a little log so I can see that I did it. At one point, I started out just being able to walk and then walk a little faster. And I sort of knew that there's more to exercise than just walking if you really want to, you know, have better health. So eventually I got a trainer. Again, it was like such a better use of money than so many other things. I was actually able to get it. A friend and I know we were able to share a trainer. So it was only like $25 to have her for like an hour between the two of us, which, if you know what trainer costs are, that's actually a pretty good deal. But, you know, we found a woman in OA, actually, who was a trainer. And I was like, weights were like the last thing I wanted to do. I was never someone that would go to those gyms and do those machines and stuff. But we just made it really simple with like floor exercises and push-ups and some light dumbbells. And lo and behold, I got into doing something I never thought I would do and never liked doing. And got into it and found myself being able to do that. I've been doing that twice a week now for like 5 years or something like that. So that was, and I don't even have the trainer anymore. I got enough of the patterns, you know, that I could do it. A couple things I learned is try to make it fun. The more fun or interesting it is, the better. Now I do a combination of things. I'll ride a bicycle. If it's nice out, I'll do a treadmill. if it's yucky out, a treadmill is such a good investment. I found that if I have to go someplace to first like park and shower and change, it was such a big barrier. It was like, not a good thing. But a treadmill was much easier, and a bicycle is right there in my house. But I usually either, I got a little speaker to have music on my bicycle. I found really uplifting, positive music I really enjoy. And I try to bike where it's kind of pretty, like nice scenery on a bike trail. And listening to music I like on a bike trail, it's like what could be better, you know, particularly if the weather's nice. You know, it's just a pretty wonderful thing. On my treadmill, I figured out how to get a laptop so I could see it on my treadmill. And lo and behold, I can watch Netflix, or I can read a book, or I can look at videos, or I can do whatever I want to do, you know. And in the beginning, often just watching TV on a treadmill was a great way to do it, because I could just watch. At one point, this was my around before this one, back when we had these things called DVDs, I purchased every episode of Star Trek Next Generation. It was like, I don't know, 7 years. And I made this deal with myself. It was a recumbent bike. As long as I pedaled, I could watch it. So I did an episode a day, which was like 300 days. And then I did it a second time. And that got me to exercise 600 times for 47 minutes minus commercial breaks, you know, because I could do that. And I loved watching Star Trek, you know. So just like finding little tricks to make it fun. Was a big part of it. You know, whatever I could do to kind of fake myself out. Now, you know, I have a headset and a telephone, so sometimes I make phone calls on a treadmill. I'll talk to people, listen to sponsees, you know. In fact, I have this one friend, I'm like, why don't we exercise together? We can both be on treadmills or exercise bikes in our, you know, like, yeah, in fact, this one friend I just realized is an older guy. He takes an exercise walk. He's about 80 years old. And we often line it up. So he's doing his exercise walk while I'm on the treadmill. We just have like a nice chat. You know, couple times a week. Yeah, so finding little tricks to make it fun. But a big part of it was other people, linking it to other people, being on the phone with other people, you know, doing it with other people. It's just so much easier. And yeah, and I'd say that the other piece of it is to grow it slowly. You know, just grow it slowly. I started literally, like I said, around the block, you know, like around the block slowly at, you know, at 280 pounds, because that's about all I could manage. And then found myself just growing it. And now I can, you know, get on a treadmill and have it at, I'm not much of a runner, but I can have it at a pretty fast, you know, give it like an angle and a fast pace and, you know, have a really good sweat and heavy breathing by the end of it and do it for 40 to 60 minutes, you know, and just of solid, you know, cardio. Or I can ride a bike as much as, I don't know, about 50 miles, probably more if I really wanted to. I just don't want to put that much time into it, but I can ride. Now I'll pick routes that are really hilly. Like I look for the steepest hills because I know that going up steep hills gives me good exercise, you know? And so, but it grew to that over, you know, 5 or 6 years, but each time just, you know, like a little more or the same, you know, maintain it, but just kind of grow it. I went from not being able to do one push-up, like, you know, the knee push-ups, I used to call them the girls push-ups when I was in high school, you're on your knees, to being able to do, I think I hit 45 or 50 regular push-ups, you know, by the end of it, you know? And so, and it's a cool feeling when, like, you know, I mean, I remember when I was on my knee push-ups, like nothing moved. Like I pushed and pushed and just nothing moved, you know? And so to be able to do, you know, even 10 push-ups was like, wow, for, you know, a guy who was like, you know, the fat kid in school and couldn't climb up the rope. And, you know, I was last picked on the teams, right? I was that, you know, stereotypical, like fat kid that no one liked and didn't do too well in anything physical. So it's just a better sense of self-esteem and self-worth for me to be able to do that. So I'm sitting here looking at a couple of notes. That's why I keep turning away. But I think that is all, yeah, all I, so, but kind of in summary, I would say that, you know, start small, try to do things that are fun, try to find OA support and accountability, whether it's like physically somebody doing with you if you can, which is maybe the best because this other person's there, they've shown up, you've shown up, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you know, not do it. but at a minimum, you know, using the telephone and other forms of support. And I always like to say, celebrate success. You know, just go, even if it's just to myself, yay, Alan, you bicycled 10 miles, 20 miles, you did 10 push-ups, like just kind of pat yourself on the back, so to speak. And then just, you know, relax and let it grow. Just let it grow over time, however it does. So
any questions, or if there are other sponsors want to share?
I have a quick question, if that's okay.
Yep.
Alan?
Sure.
I'm Katrina. I'm a compulsive overeater from New Zealand. I was wanting to ask, I've lost over 100 pounds and I've got a lot of loose skin. Thank you. But I've got a lot of loose skin. So I don't know if that's something that you experience with your weight loss. If so, has exercise been of any help in dealing with that?
You know, that's been a bane. My waist went, I don't know if you guys know inches there, but I went from a 56-inch waist to a 36-inch waist, which is a 20-inch difference in thing. And I have, you know, talked to other people like that, and I've talked to doctors and medical people, and they've said that 20 inches of skin does not go away on its own. I mean, I've, you know, it's been 30 years now, and I've done sit-ups and this and that, and they said, you know, people go two paths. The one I took was, I just think of it as a battle scar, and I live with it, and I've come to, I don't love it, but I'm at peace with it. And then, you know, people do plastic surgery, which has just never been a thing that I wanted to look into. But yeah, I don't, I'm almost positive that that kind of weight loss, it doesn't go anyplace. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That helps, because people do tell me, the gym people, and oh yeah, you can get rid of it. You can get rid of it. But I just have a feeling that no.
Yeah. I talked to some, I went to the doctor after doctor asking that question. And they were like, nope, not 20 inches.
I was just wondering, like, I maybe missed in the beginning, but in this group, are we allowed to like comment a little bit? Cause I have something to say about the like loose skin too, but I don't want to be like cross talking.
Oh, sure. But, yes.
Okay. But I had weight loss surgery. So like, I've been in groups with a lot of people who lost a lot of weight, and I hate to second what he said, but it's like pretty much true for most people. In my groups that I've been in, there are like some people who like are having the surgery that are like really young and haven't done all the yo-yo dieting and stuff like that since or before, and like some of them bounce back and like don't need surgery if they want to get rid of it. But for the most part, like your every time, like if you've done multiple diets and lost a fair amount of weight and things like that, like your skin becomes less elastic, or yeah, each time you like will gain and lose. And if you've lost a lot, it's pretty much like your options for comfort while exercising are pretty much plastic surgery or compression pants and stuff. Sucks. I have a lot of loose skin from that too. So I'm like,
I was terribly overweight for 20 years. And then coming into OA, the weight came off slowly. I stayed hydrated and the loose skin stayed elastic and just pretty much didn't bag or sag. So if you're still in the losing phase, take it slowly, stay hydrated, you know, eat balanced, all that kind of stuff, and hope for the best. Pass.
So Al, when you're working with some, I'm still seeing a personal trainer, and I have the recumbent bicycle, and I watch TV. I've worked up to an day, but When I started, it's almost like I was totally divorced of my body. And the idea of exercise, I had to emotionally deal with the fact that I didn't exercise. It's like I defined myself as not being a person that exercised. And I just wonder, when you talk to a sponsee that is in that frame of mind, what do you suggest?
You know, it's funny because for when I was in disease, I was in that frame of mind, like exercise just wasn't something I did. I never thought about it, kind of what you're saying, like the perspective, I'm an exerciser, I'm a not. Honestly, I've never had that conversation. It's just that if somebody wants to exercise, you have to want to, because if you don't want to, well, I'm not going to tell you to do it. It's, you know, oh, wait, we don't tell people what we do. We just support them and what they believe is good for them. So if somebody just said to me, I want to exercise, I would really just focus on getting it started and getting it going. I never thought to talk about what you're talking about. It's an interesting topic. It's just never come up for me.
Thank you.
A couple of things. I just wanted to do an announcement plug. Well, first, Alan, thanks. That was great. And some of you have been seeing that information in the chat. I think we might be a little clearer for people who are new or whatever. You know, that this is obviously not, we're not saying do this, do that. You know, these are sort of ideas for people to think about. And for a whole lot of us, obviously exercise is one of them. Like when we do food, when we talk about food plans. And thank you for sure for your service, Alan, and our sponsee. Thank you for joining us today. To hear recordings of other speakers in this series, visit secularovereaters.org. And while you are there, please consider making a donation to support our work.